once you find out and realize that you were destined and created for God's purposes, you'll quit trying to use God to fulfill your own purposes. You'll find that nothing else can fulfill your life. Marriage can't. Having children can't. Trophies, awards, degrees, and plaques, the home, the cars. You'll find that there's nothing that will bring fulfillment like purpose. You'll be sitting on a rocking chair one day like many people have. We don't want to be any one of those people. Many people down through time, I know, have sat in a rocking chair on their porch in their older age, wondering, what was it all about? I got the job, I got the career, I got the family, I've got children, I've got grandchildren. I had a good marriage, I gave them a home, I gave my wife and my children security. My wife had an automobile. We you know, God took care of us. Our finances were taken care of. God gave me wisdom for the company. He's helped supply. But why do I still feel empty? Why do I still feel like that I have something yet to achieve? You'll find that life truly has no meaning unless you've discovered the meaning of your purpose. Because purpose is the key to fulfillment. You can try to get all the things you want, buy, attain, work for. One of the most discouraging and depressing things is to find out you've worked so hard for the wrong thing. See, when you're working for God, God produces fruit and fruit that remains. Amen? So, I want to tell you that I remember that quote by D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody said that he never preached a message without thinking first that Jesus might come back before he gets to preach his next message. And that urgency and that passion is what I live with now. I live with that same passion because I know that we all were called and predestined for a purpose for such a time as this, and that God is wanting to use every one of us. Amen. It's not about what I can accomplish, but it's about what God is going to accomplish through me. Which means that it's not about me. I was created for Him, by Him, and it's not about me, it's about Him. If you guys don't mind, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and lift your hands towards heaven. Let's pray that God would anoint me to speak and anoint you to hear. Father, we love You this morning. We give You glory. We praise You for what You're doing in our church, what You're doing in our lives and our ministries and in our families and our children's lives. We give You glory for it this morning, Father. We thank You that Your Word says we're two or more gathered, that You're there in the midst. That's a promise, Father, and we know that You are faithful. I pray, Lord, it's my heart, that as Your Word goes forth this morning, that Your angels would walk among the aisles, Father, and break yokes and lift every burden. Heal every scarred heart this morning, Father. Let people in this body receive divine revelation and confirmation. Let them know that they're not here by accident, that long before they were conceived in the mind of their parents, they were conceived in the mind of God. Father, we love You this morning. We give You glory for everything that You're going to say to us this morning. We receive it in our heart that it might bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And we're going to give You glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody that loves Him said, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, a great British pastor and clergyman, was quoted as saying, I never start my day and my work without thinking that God might interrupt my work for His own. I never start my day without thinking that sometime during my day, God might interrupt my work for His own. Amen. Now, I truly believe, just like I've told you, that I'm here on an assignment today from the Lord. I pray that you receive it in your heart. I pray that you get the tape. Listen to it again. Get God's Word down on the inside of your heart. Because if the writer of Ecclesiastes says that once you've accomplished and acquired everything that you aspired to attain, and everything, every goal and every ambition that you had for yourself and for your life and for your family, once you've acquired and once you've accomplished, there is nothing. There is emptiness without purpose. That's why purpose is the key to fulfillment. And you will definitely find your purpose in the house of God. There's a few scriptures that I want to just remind you of this morning. Proverbs 29:18, that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no purpose, the people perish. Amen. Wellington Boone, a famous black evangelist, I've seen him preach at Promise Keepers. He said, a man without a vision has no future. And a man without a future that can't see his future will always return to his past. But I prefer what Paul said. Paul said this in Philippians 3:14. Paul said, I'm not saying that I have attained, because I haven't attained yet. But this one thing that I do know. He said, forgetting the past, forgetting everything that's behind me, and reaching forward to the things that lie ahead, I reach ahead, I press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm going to run my race with endurance. I'm going to put on the full armor of God. Amen. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to keep the faith, and I'm going to press on towards the things of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's no accident that I'm here. It's no accident. I believe that everybody in this room needs to know that there's no accident that you're here. Some people in this room might even say, you know, I heard my mom or my dad or my grandmother or somebody say that it was an accident that I was here. My parents didn't plan me. Well, you know what? That's not what the Word of God says. God says He foreknew you. He predestined you before the foundations of the world. God says that He knew you. But from the beginning, God went all the way and saw the end of your life and came back to the beginning and said, now get started. In Jeremiah 29:11, He says, I know the plans I have for you. One translation says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. It's no accident that you were here. Long before you were conceived in the mind of your mother and your father, you were conceived in the mind of God. And God already had predestined an entire plan for your life. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God said that in Jeremiah 1. I knew you before I formed you in the womb. I have a point here that I want to make to you. God says, I knew you before I formed you in the womb. I called you out. I set you apart. I knew every hair on your head and had a plan for your life. That should once and for all settle the abortion issue. But you know what the Lord placed in my heart? I told this to the first service. It was pretty serious. I think it was a revelation for some people. And it might be for somebody in this room. I know in my heart, see, I'm so totally against pro-choice, because a woman and a man already have a choice. They already had choices to make before the child was conceived. But I want you to know something. If abortion is even anything close to good, then why are there self-help books and drugs and seminars and counseling and everything else for women that have walked through an abortion for the rest of their life? Why is it 20 years later, somebody can say the word abortion and she wants to leave the room? She doesn't even want to be in the presence of when it's talked about. Let me give you a confirmation this morning, church. And maybe you know somebody in that situation. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you know somebody in that situation now. Maybe this will help you plant a seed into somebody's life down the road that's thinking about abortion. God says, I conceived you in the womb. Psalms 139:13 says, God says, I formed your inward parts. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. David said, I will praise your works, and my soul very well knows it, that you were there from the very beginning. You had a hand in it. Let me tell you what that tells me, this pastor. And this is a revelation for somebody in this room. God knew that He needed to use that man's DNA and that woman's DNA that He put in both of them to create you and your DNA. God already accounted for unrighteousness. God was bigger than sin and had already accounted for sin. God knew that He had to use that man and that woman, even if He knew they weren't going to stay together. God knew that He had to use both of those people to get your DNA so He could work, so you could be sitting in this room this morning. Somebody needs to shout hallelujah. God is bigger than all of that. God had a... If you even remotely believe in abortion, then you don't believe in the Bible. Because God said, I conceived you. I foreknew you. When I meet someone, I know them. I'm introduced to them and I say, yeah, I know that guy. I just met him. But God says, I foreknew you before you were even here. Before anybody even laid eyes on you in this world, I foreknew you. And I predestined you. I destined you. That's where we get the word destiny. I had a destiny and a plan for your life, God says. I had a destination. Predestination in the Webster's Dictionary is defined by, if you go home and look, if you have a Webster's, the act by which God predestined everything. God predestined everything. God had a destiny for you, but the Holy Ghost said He predestined. Before the end, He backed up to the beginning. And before He knew you, He foreknew you. But, well, really, before anybody else knew you, God knew you. That's why He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who was and is to come. Somebody shout hallelujah in this house. Amen. Come on now. Our God is a big God. He says you are not here by accident. If you don't know anything else, know that you were created by Me, for Me, to carry out My purpose. And nothing else will really totally fulfill your life till you know what My purpose is for your life. So I believe that this morning in my heart that truly this message could be one of the most important that you hear for your peace. Do you know true fulfillment brings peace? Jesus said, "This peace I give, not as the world gives. This peace I give." Amen. Peace like a river and joy unspeakable. I believe that the message on purpose has to do with how much blessings you'll receive, how much peace, how much joy in your life that you'll receive. To know for sure that you have a purpose and that there's no accidents. God doesn't create accidents. Romans 8:28. Says, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Amen. According to His purpose. It says, for who He foreknew, He predestined. And He predestined and conformed to the image of His Son. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to the things of this world, but be ye transformed. Could somebody say transformed? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, knowing what is the good and perfect will of the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. God predestined, He preordained you to be here this morning. It's no accident. The good news is that 1 in 3.5 million sperm cells, one makes it to the egg. Guess which one made it? It was you, because God had a plan for your life. Amen. Say, Pastor's talking about me already this morning. See, even before the universe was created, God had you in mind. He planned you for His purpose. And your purpose and your plan was not just for these short years, but God has designed each and every one of us for eternity. We were created for eternity. That's why Jesus said in John 14:1, He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you, that so where I am, you may be also. And if it were not so, I would not have told you so. And you know where I'm going, and you know the way. And Thomas said, how can we know where you're going if we don't know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, heaven is our destination, and it's eternity. God has put in each one of our hearts eternity. See, this is the reason that no matter how many self-help books that you read about how to be better and how to discover who I really am, how to discover why I'm really here, how to discover what's my purpose and what's my meaning. No, I need to look deep within these self-help books. Self-help books say. You know why you can do all that and read? Some of you in this room have read those books. You know why you still don't find the answer? They're self-centered questions. You're looking in the wrong place. You're looking for truth and peace in the wrong place. You have to start with God, because God started with you. Amen. Amen. God created you, praise the Lord. Life will never make sense unless you understand that you were made by God, for God, for God's purposes. Amen. That's why we don't understand it when a child dies, a teenager dies, a grandparent dies. We don't understand it. Listen to this for just a second. We go, it's not right. It wasn't their time. It's unfair. I just can't believe it. I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. We have all these emotions. You know why? You know why those are all normal? Because it says that God planted eternity in the hearts of every man. We were created for eternity, so when we see someone die here on the earth, We think it's unfair and we don't understand it because deep down in our spirit, we were created to live forever. Oh, come on now. Come on, we were created to live forever. Amen. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believes in me will never die. We were created for eternity. Amen. This is just a playing field. This is spring training. Hallelujah. You can't football players have spring training all during the spring to get in the condition for the big game. Amen. You gotta be in training. We're just in training for eternity. And Christianity is not a spectator sport. You got to be involved. The Bible says that everyone that runs the race to acquire the crown, the Bible says everyone that runs the race for the crown has to play by the rules of the game. God says, keep your feet on the straight and narrow. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Keep looking at me. You'll walk on water. Hallelujah. I make the crooked places straight and I make the rough places smooth. Keep your eyes on me, God says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Billy Graham said something profound. I read in his life story in the book, The Evangelist. He has a friend, Dr. Karl Barth. Dr. Karl Barth is a Swiss theologian. Billy Graham says he's one of the greatest theologians of his generation. Not only was he a great theologian, he was one of the greatest philosophers of his generation. One year, Dr. Karl Barth was over in the United States teaching at a big seminar. And you know what? There were many students and professors there and teachers listening to him. And one of the students asked him a question. He said, Dr. Karl Barth, in front of everybody, what is the greatest truth that has ever come across your heart? Dr. Karl Barth, he raised his old gray-haired head slowly. And at this time, when he raised his head, before he answered, all the students and all the teachers, they were all sitting on the edge of their seats, waiting for some profound, deep, complicated answer. And he raised his head and he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. Come on, hallelujah. Let's keep it simple. My prayer is that we would keep it simple. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave. God so loved you that He gave His only Son, Jesus, that whosoever would believeth in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we found last Sunday, chapter 3, that there is a time and a season and a purpose for everything under heaven. Meaning that God has connected a time to every purpose under heaven. And since we live under heaven, God has given us a certain amount of time to fulfill our purpose. Also, this is something interesting for you to smile at. When God designed you in the beginning, He already gave you everything you would need to fulfill your purpose. The song, He has already provided. He's already provided every gift, every talent. You know, back then in Paul's days and Timothy and these disciples' days, they didn't have Bible colleges. They didn't have schools. People prayed. They met from house to house. But you know what? There was no such thing as a college, so there was no such thing as a degree. God gave the wisdom. The Holy Ghost gave the boldness and the wisdom to speak. Amen. So see, God can use anybody. God is still using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Amen. That's why I said the book of Ecclesiastes goes all the way through and tells you, you can try everything. You can try a new sport. You can catch the biggest fish and shoot the biggest deer. You can buy the biggest truck. You can build the biggest house. You can have more. You can have plenty of children till your quiver's full. You can have the best career. You can make the highest salary of anybody in this whole city. You can have more degrees on this wall and more trophies on this shelf than anybody you know. But if you did not fulfill God's purpose, you will feel empty inside. I know that God has me on an assignment this morning. I'm looking at your faces, but I'm speaking right to your spirit man this morning. God is speaking right to your spirit man this morning. I pray that you would receive it and that it would fall on good ground. Amen. Don't let the weeds and the cares and the rocks of this world. Don't have a stony heart. Don't come in here with us with a stony heart that when the Word falls, it falls on hard ground and can't produce a root. The Bible says to be rooted and grounded in Christ and rooted and grounded in love. I pray that when you walk out of here with that seed in your heart of God's Word, you won't go talk to somebody else who's not going to church and let them strangle the Word that you just received. Don't let the cares of the world, the weeds, pull up around your Word and what you know in your heart to be true. Don't let the weeds cover it up and try to steal that seed that God is planting in your heart. God wants you to know this morning, beyond anything else before you walk out of this room, that He had a purpose for your life. It was a divine appointment for you to be sitting in this room this morning to hear this message. God is speaking loud and clear. So many people fall into sin. And you know why? Guess what? Christians. The alarm goes off. The Holy Ghost is full of love and compassion and faithfulness. And an alarm goes off and we reach over, some Christians, and they've hit the snooze button. Then they feel that sin rising up, that lust, that envy, that greed, that gossip, all those things, that confusion. And they hear the alarm going off and the Holy Spirit starts speaking and they reach over and hit the snooze button again. And now pretty soon, they don't even hear the alarm go off. Now the flesh man is dominating the spirit man. And for so often, the spirit man was speaking loud and clear. Amen. Somebody give you an encouraging word on the street or give you a scripture over the phone. And right when you needed it in your spirit man, just whoo, you just felt boom, uplifted. You know what happens. You know what I'm talking about. Your spirit man is alive this morning. Amen. Without purpose, you're sleepwalking. And without purpose, you'll be a time killer. You'll just be killing time if you don't know the importance of the time that God has given you. I got an email just yesterday, probably from Lisa. Thank you, Lisa. I really appreciate Lisa. She sends me some of the greatest emails that are so profound. And she weeds out all the junk and sends me good stuff. Listen to this. And this came yesterday while I was already putting my message together about time and purpose, the measure of your life. Listen to this. There is a bank that credits your account each morning with $86,400. It carries over no balance from day to day. Every evening it deletes whatever part of the balance you failed to use during the day. What would you do? Draw all the money out? Of course you would. Each of us has such a bank. Its name is time. Every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night it writes off as a loss whatever you have failed to use for good purpose. It carries over no balance. It allows no overdraft. Each day it opens a new account for you. Each night it burns the remains of the day. If you fail to use the day's deposit, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There's no going against the tomorrow. You must live in the present and today's deposits. Invest it so to get from it the utmost in health, happiness, and success. The clock is running. Make the most of the day. To realize the value of 1 year, ask someone who failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a newspaper. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the lovers who are about to meet. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask the person who missed the train. To realize the value of 1 second, ask the person who just avoided an accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who just won a gold medal in the Olympics. Treasure every moment that you have. Time waits for no man. And treasure it more because you shared it with someone special. Special enough to spend your time. And remember that time waits for no one. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. And today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Success is not measured by the length of your life. Success is not measured by the amass of your possessions. Success is measured by your purpose. Did you fulfill your purpose? Because I can promise you, No matter where you think you are, I don't care if you did not even graduate from high school. It doesn't matter to me or to God or anyone else if you didn't go to college. God grants wisdom liberally to him who asks. Amen. And what God anoints, he appoints. Or vice versa. Where God guides, he provides. God always blesses what he possesses. So the point I'm trying to make is that when God designed you, he already provided everything that you would need to fulfill your purpose. Amen. Everything. Ephesians 5:15 says that we should walk carefully, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but wise, knowing what the will of the Lord is for your life, what the purpose of the Lord is for your life. Amen. Without purpose, you'll keep hoping that you're doing things right. It'll be a hit and it'll be a miss. It'll be a journey into frustration, confusion, despair. You know, if only I had maybe we should have prayed about that decision a little bit at all. Maybe we should have prayed about that decision a little bit longer. Maybe we could have just waited on the Lord a little bit longer. Amen. But instead, some people jump right in there and want to do it their way all the time. When they want to do it, why they want to do it, where they want to do it, when they want to do it. And we jump right into a journey of frustration because we didn't stop to think that we were created by someone for His purpose. And that is where we're going to find our fulfillment. See, with purpose, I know that I can wake up with confidence. I know my destination. This life is not my own. I've been bought with a price and this is not my home. I'm just passing through. My destination is heaven. It's my purpose to get there and it's my purpose to take somebody with me. Hallelujah. I'm taking somebody with me. Amen. Hebrews 10:35 says, "Do not cast away your confidence, for with it comes a great reward." Amen. See, I know that I have a purpose. You need to know that you have a purpose, that God created you for a purpose. And with that purpose, let me tell you, tears are still going to come. Pressures are still going to be felt. Anxieties, confusion, doubt and worry will still try to come into your life. As a Christian, the Bible never says one time that we're exempt from any of those things. But let me tell you what, with purpose, you'll be on a new level, a new dimension, a new direction, a new focus, a new power to help you get through the circumstances and the situations of life when you have a purpose. When you have a purpose and you know you have a purpose, no matter what comes against you, you'll look at your wife and say, "Hey, sweetheart, Isaiah 54:17 says, 'No weapon formed against me shall prosper.' Isaiah 59:19, darling, says, 'When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against me.' Hey, I can have peace because Isaiah 26:3 says, 'I will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee.' Hallelujah. Hey, darling, remember Philippians 4:13 says, 'I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me.' Genesis 50:20 says, 'What the devil meant for evil, God will use it for good.' Jeremiah 29:11 says, 'I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord.' Amen. Romans 8:31, baby, since God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. You get God's Word down on the inside of your heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, 'For the eyes of the Lord roam the earth to and fro to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him.' An angel, did I tell you, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, 'Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the hearts of man the wonderful things that God has in store for them that love Him.' So John 14:1, 'Let not your heart be troubled.' Amen. Amen. Sweetheart, there is overcome the world. Amen. Angel, Matthew said in 6:33, 'We don't have to worry. Who by worrying can add 1 minute to your life? Do not worry about what you will eat, what you will wear, what you will drink. Your Father knows you have need of such things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.'" Somebody shout hallelujah in this house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. I don't have to fear. I don't have to worry. I can be of good cheer. I don't have to fear anything. Fear is not in my vocabulary because of 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. Zechariah 4:6 says, "It's not by might or power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord God." Amen. Nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. When you know you have purpose, this is where you'll find your purpose. When you know you have purpose, you can stand against the storms of life. Psalms 1 says that the righteous man will be like a tree planted by water. He'll bear fruit in his season and his leaf will never die. And anything he touches, he will prosper. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's my Father I'm talking about. Look at your neighbor and smile and say, "He's talking about my Father." Hallelujah. Amen. All I know is He said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That settles it. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Hold fast to the profession of your faith without staggering and wavering in unbelief, because He who promised is faithful." And it reminds me of one of my favorite Scriptures. Can you believe I have a favorite Scripture? One of my favorite Scriptures is Romans 4:18, Abraham, who against all hope, in hope believed. Against all hope, in hope believed, because God had told him he was going to be the father of many nations. But he didn't stagger and waver in unbelief. Didn't even consider the deadness of his own body. He was about 100 years old. Or the deadness of his wife Sarah's womb. But believed that God was going to do what God said He was able to do. He staggered not, the Bible says, verse 20, at the promises of God, but strengthened himself in his faith, giving glory to God, believing that what God said he was able to do, God was going to do, and it was accounted unto Abraham as righteousness. Amen. Because he just believed God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to renew your faith this morning. I want to renew your vision this morning. But more than anything, I want you to know this morning that God has planted you here for this time, for this season, for this generation. God knew what a wicked generation we'd be living in. Wars and rumors of wars. That's not even the big thing to me. The big thing to me is spiritual. How many Christians in church are still watching R-rated movies? Still letting their kids play around with stuff that has bad spiritual, there's spiritual warfare there. You don't want to let things into your home. Don't even let your children bring things into your home, certain things into your home. Somebody's in your house. It's either the Spirit of the Lord or the spirit of the enemy. So many Christians are still gambling. So many Christians are still watching R-rated movies. So many Christians are still running around. They still haven't realized their purpose. And they're not focused about the time that God has given them to fulfill their purpose. They're killing time. They're wasting time in other areas of their life that's not even scriptural for them to do as a Christian. God has called you here right now. God knew the moral decline this country would be in the year 2003. With prayer taken out of school in 1963, and look what happened. When I was in school, we got in trouble for chewing gum. Got sent to the principal's office. Today, there's drugs, sex, alcohol, teenage pregnancies, teenage suicides. It's rampant since they took Christ out of school. In 1963, in 1973, Roe versus Wade. See, when they took God out of school, they took God off of our nation, off of our school system, off of our country, off of our family, because that was the prayer that we prayed every morning. God protect our family. God protect our teachers. God protect our president and our country. God knew He needed you to be here at this particular place and time. Amen. They're so sad that so many people are walking around not sure of what they believe, and consequently, they are uncommitted because they don't really believe. See, belief produces behavior. You want to know what somebody believes? Follow them around for about a week. Listen to what they say. Listen to them on the telephone, how they talk. Because belief produces behavior. Amen? You know, when I got saved, I had to face Christ and say, "Who is this man that makes this astounding claim that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me?" I had to search my heart and say, "Who is this man that makes that claim? Either he's Lord of all or not at all." Josh McDowell, one of the atheists, an atheist who didn't believe in God, He set out to prove that Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or he was Lord. Josh McDowell got saved, spirit-filled, born again, wrote an apologetic book that I have right here, one of the very first books that he ever written, More Than a Carpenter, over 10 million in print in about 15 different languages. Would You Die for a Lie is chapter 5. He found out that they separated the disciples. He went over there, found out they had them all separate and said, Peter, John, and James have already admitted to the fact that y'all, when the Roman guards fell asleep at the tomb, y'all removed the stone and removed Jesus and you have the body. Just confirm it with us and we'll let you go and you will not kill you or crucify you. And Peter said, all I know is that he was dead and now he's alive. Something happens to a man when he stands inches but next to somebody that was dead 4 days ago. Amen. It turned these 12 uneducated cowards into 12 bold, courageous lions for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they shook history like a housewife shakes a rug with no skills, no talents, and nothing but boldness because they said, all I know is he was dead and now he's alive. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. See, Buddha said at the end of his life, I'm still searching for truth. It's because he never found the King of Kings. Buddha and Gandhi and Hare Krishna, they're all still in the tomb. But Jesus is the only one that's not in the tomb because he's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us because he loves us so much. And the only reason he's still tarrying is because he's not willing that one should perish but that all should come to repentance. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Time waits for no man. James 4:14. What is your life, the Bible says? It's like a vapor. Here for a short while and then vanishing. And I want to tell you something. Everything is moving in God's plan. But the devil plan for you. John 10:10 says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So you need to make the choice. Whose plan do you fit into? Because God has an incredible plan for your life. To prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. Because you have a purpose. Listen to this. Scripture says that God allows 70 years and for some beyond that. Listen to this. The first 15 years are spent in childhood and early adolescence. 20 years are spent in bed sleeping. We sleep 8 hours a night every night. There's 24 hours in a day. Figure that out. That's about a third of one day. And look how many people take naps during the day when their kids run them ragged and everything's going on. And so you figure that the last 5 years of your life are spent with physical limitations where now you have ailments that you didn't have before and it's really slowed you down and you can't quite do the things that you used to do. Now that leaves you about 30 years as an adult, living as an adult. Now take in consideration stopping to eat 3 times a day, paying bills, paying taxes. If you own your own business, you know how much paperwork is involved in just paying bills. Paying employees, doing taxes. You guys know how much time is spent on paperwork alone. Just even keeping receipts for your own personal finances if you don't even own a, just keeping up with your checkbook can be a pretty serious task. You know, I've got to still have money in my account. There's still checks left in my checkbook. Come on now. That's how some of you. I'm not going to look at anybody right now. Now suppose, listen to this, now you've got, that leaves you about 15 years. Now listen to the key thing I haven't even mentioned yet. What about watching TV? How many people spend so much time watching TV? As soon as they get home from work, they want to see a show, they want to see, honey, I got some movies tonight for us to watch. Great. Honey, what do you think about going to the movies Friday night? Let's go to the movies Friday night. I have nothing against movies. I'm just saying, movies at home, TV, even if it's the news, it's great to watch the news. It's probably about the only thing we watch on TV anymore is the news. We always catch the news just to keep up with what's going on. But now, let's figure now that's about 7 or 8 years left in your life. 7 or 8 years are left in your life. Now, the time is short and the hour is late, and what we're going to do for God, we've got to do it now because God gave us a certain amount of time to fulfill our purpose. In other words, it's not about me, it's about what He's going to accomplish through me. Amen. Listen to this. 1 Colossians 1:16 says, "For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him." Amen. Praise the Lord. Focusing on ourselves, I'm going to close right here. I'm out of time. To finish, focusing on ourselves will never reveal our life's purposes because we typically began at the wrong starting point. We started with ourselves instead of starting with God, who began by starting with us. Saying, what do I want out of life? What am I going to do? What can I have? Movies won't bring it. Seminars can't bring it. Can't teach it to us. You won't discover your meaning and your purpose in life by looking at yourself. You've got to look at God. You did not create yourself. Therefore, you don't have a clue what God created you for. Amen. You can't even tell yourself what you were created for because you didn't create yourself. If I handed you an invention you have never seen before, you couldn't tell me what it was created for because you didn't invent it. And the invention itself could not tell you what it was created for because it was created by somebody else. See, only the guy who wrote the handbook, only the creator of the invention or the creation can tell you what your purpose is and what you were created for. That's why you can't start in here. You've got to start right here. Could somebody say amen? Listen to this. I'm going to close with one story. In 1 John 2:17, it says, "This world is fading away, along with everything it craves. But if you do the will of God, you will live forever." So I want to ask you a question this morning in closing. Something for you to consider this morning. Since I was made and created for eternity, and I was created to last forever, what is the one thing that I should stop doing and the one thing that I should start doing? I was created for eternity. I was created for a purpose, for a time such as this. And I want to end with this one story for you guys this morning. Billy Graham, whenever he's asked about who is God and what about God, Billy Graham says that I remind people of the little boy flying the kite. The little boy flying a kite one day, and it's a perfect day. The wind was up. The clouds were all billowy, and the wind just quickly took his kite up beyond the first couple of clouds. And a man walked by and said, "Son, what you doing flying a kite?" He said, the little boy said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'm flying a kite." He said, "Oh, you are?" he asked. "How do you know you're flying a kite? You can't see it." The little boy responded. He said, "That's right. I can't see it. But every once in a while, I feel a little tug, and I know for sure that it's there." And I want to ask you this morning, find God for yourself. Find Christ for yourself. You'll find your purpose in the house of God. Don't take anybody else's word for it. And you too will feel God's tug on your heartstrings, and you will know for sure that He's there. Amen. Let's stand up and let's close in prayer. God has a plan for your life this morning. You are not here by accident. There are no accidents in the kingdom of God. Long before you were conceived in your parents' mind, you were conceived in the mind of God. And God preordestined and preordained you to be here right now. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Jesus came and died on a cross for us. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He died for us that we might live for Him. And I know He's speaking to somebody's heart this morning in this room. Amen. It says He was in the world and He made the world and the world knew Him not. God has a purpose for your life. But you can't measure your success by what you've acquired, by what you've attained, by wisdom, by trophy, but only by fulfilling your purpose. And until you understand that we were created by Him for Him, life will never make a sin. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love You, Father. Lord, I thank You for speaking to our hearts this morning. For some it was a revelation. For some it was a reminder not to waste our time, to get back focused on You. Because You make the crooked places straight and You make the rough places smooth. You give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. You've made us the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessed going out and blessed coming in. Blessed are the children of the Most High God. Father, thank You. There are no illegitimate children in the kingdom of God. There are no accidents. You finish every good work You start, and You've started a good work in every one of Your children. And You say that You are going to perform it and perfect it until the day that Your Son returns. Father, thank You for speaking to us this morning. I would just ask, is there anyone in this room this morning? Maybe you walked in. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your best friend that sticks closer than a brother. Maybe you've tried church. Maybe you've tried religion. But Jesus is asking you to try a relationship with Him. He wants to come into your heart. He says He stands at the door and knocks. And He knocks so gently, He speaks to our heart and our spirit. He says, if any man will open that door, I will come in and sup with him and have fellowship with him and love him and care for him, provide for him. If that's you in this room this morning, maybe you can honestly say in your heart, I don't know Christ. Or maybe you could say, I once was in church, I once had religion. But Pastor, today in this little A-frame church in Cedar City, God had me here for a purpose. Maybe you say this morning to yourself, I have found my purpose. I'm going to seek God and pray and fast that He would reveal His purpose to me. If that's you in this room this morning and you want to come to the Lord or come back to the Lord this morning and you say, I'll not take another step without Jesus in my heart. They say that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you. You need to prepare your heart for what I've done for you. If that's you in this room this morning, I would just ask you to gently lift your hand up and put it back down. Be bold for the Lord. The Lord said, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you. If that's you in the room, don't be ashamed of your Father. He said, Jesus said, if you'll not be ashamed of me when you come before me, if you'll not be ashamed of me before men, I'll not be ashamed of you when you come before me and my Father. Don't be ashamed of Jesus if He's speaking to your heart. Just gently lift your hand up and put it back down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else in this room, I thank you, Father. Several people have raised their hand. And I thank you, the Lord is speaking to their heart right now. Thank you for them, Lord. Thank you, Father. I'm going to ask everyone to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Remove my sin. Remove anything that makes you sad. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me as freshly fallen snow. I love you, Lord. I know you died for me and rose again on the third day that I might have life with you. Come into my heart, Father. And I promise to love you and to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody that loves Him said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen.